Luke 24, we will pick up in verse 50. And Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. So this is at the point of his ascension. In verse 51, now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Kaufman says about this ascension, the next verses relate the ascension of Christ into heaven, an event which was 10 days before the first Pentecost after the resurrection and was 40 days after the events related in the first part of this chapter. So it was 40 days after the resurrection, but 10 days before Pentecost. That accounts for these 50 days. It was divided in 40 and 10. The indication in Acts 1, verses 9 through 12, is that the ascension occurred on Mount Olivet, but it is wrong to make a contradiction out of the fact that they were out as far as Bethany, as it is stated here. This does not at all say that he ascended from Bethany, but from a point on the Mount of Olives, which was close to Bethany, that village being located, of course, on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. The two locations are one. So Bethany and Mount Olivet were considered the same location because Bethany was up against the mountain. So there's no contradiction here. And Jesus did ascend from Mount Olivet, but that is so close to Bethany that it was considered Bethany. Okay, the last two verses, 52 and 53. And they worshiped Jesus and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, these being the apostles, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And Kaufman says, all of the temple forms and ceremonies were made null and void by the sacrifice of Jesus, but the Christians would still continue to meet for a season in such places as Solomon's porch and other areas within the temple out of habit. Before a generation ended, God would utterly destroy the temple, one evident purpose being that of separating all Christian activities from it. However, it was too early at this point for the Christians to fully understand this. Okay, that concludes Kaufman's commentary on the book of Luke. Now, he has a half a page little essay. It's a listing is what it ends up being, about a number of events. And I didn't count these, but it's probably 20 or 30 things that are harmonious among all four of the gospel accounts. So all four witnesses state all of this list that Kaufman wrote. And Kaufman entitled this little essay as "The Four Witnesses Agree." The four witnesses are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the mountain peaks of their quadruple testimony stand supremely above the age of 20 centuries. What do they say? What do they all say? What is their witness? Okay, so he gives a list of what they all agree about. They said and they all say that Jesus of Nazareth is, was, and ever is a supernatural person. They say and they all say that he performed the greatest wonders ever seen on earth. They all say that he raised the dead to life again. They all say that he gave himself up to die in order to redeem people from sin. They all say that he was crucified and buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. They all say that he rose from the dead on the third day. They all say that he repeatedly appeared to his own group in his resurrected body. They all say that he commanded the gospel of salvation to be proclaimed to all people. They all say that he ascended to God and that all power in heaven and upon earth belongs to him. They all say that he is one with the Almighty God. They all say that he alone can redeem human beings from their curse of sin. They all say that he shall judge all people on the last day. They all say that he is now enthroned with God in heaven. They all say that he loves and cares for his spiritual body, which is the ones called out from the world. They all say that he is the Christ promised in the Old Testament. They all say that his name is the only name through which people should pray. They all say that he is Lord and Savior. They all say that he should be worshipped as the Father in heaven is worshipped. They all say that the fate of every soul ever born on earth hinges on that soul's obedience to the Messiah's gospel message. Okay, now Kaufman finishes this up with, not a line of this testimony is missing from any one of the quadruple gospel accounts, nor is the slightest word in it diminished by anything that any of them wrote. Let men quibble if they will about variations in these four witnesses. There are no variations where these vital facts are concerned. They call all people to turn their dying eyes to the gospel message for salvation in the name of Jesus the Messiah.